In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
There is something to be said about being plugged in. The scripture says in Acts 1:14, they were together in one accord with Mary, the mother of Jesus. They were together in one accord, persevering in prayer with Mary, the mother of Jesus. They were plugged in. Jesus had told them, "Go into the city and pray until you receive power from on high." And the scripture tells us that they were gathered together with Mary, the mother of Jesus, in one accord, persevering in prayer. This is the secret of Pentecost. Pentecost is not something that happened. Pentecost is the ongoing experience of the church. We are living in the day of Pentecost. Pentecost is in the Holy Spirit. The church lives in the time of the Holy Spirit. There are no sacraments apart from the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is only black letters on white paper without the Holy Spirit. So the secret of the Holy Spirit is being plugged in. They were together in one accord, in one heart, and in one mind, persevering in prayer with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. This is the secret of Pentecost. It is probably the best kept secret in the church because not many people know it. We take out Pentecost on 50 days after Easter. We take it out and we put it back on the day after Pentecost. We've already celebrated Pentecost. I know some places that they have, you know, fans and smoke blowing, and, you know, they have to simulate Pentecost. I want to tell you, there is no simulation of Pentecost. Pentecost is the ongoing experience of the church. It is the real experience of the church. Apart from Pentecost, there are no conversions. Apart from Pentecost, there are no healings. Apart from Pentecost, the saints would say there are no second conversions. Pentecost is what the church is all about. And yet again, I tell you, it is the best kept secret in the whole world. Everybody, you know, no one has any idea who the Holy Ghost is. Even the Pope says he is the forgotten person in the Trinity by most Catholics. And you know, if he is forgotten, that means nothing is happening. I just want to tell you, when there is no power of the Holy Spirit, nothing is happening. You got to tell me it's just business as usual. We open the doors at 7:30. The people come to pray. They go to Mass at 9. We close the doors at 10. That's what the church is all about. I thought the church was supposed to be the living organism of God. I thought it was the place where people are to experience heaven. Yeah, that's what it's about. For did not Jesus say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? Unless that day he was having some delusions. I don't think so. That's what he meant, and that's what he said. Jesus did not have delusions. He said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It is God's will to make earth more heaven. That's the church. Therefore, the church should be the place where people come to experience a little bit of heaven. That's what it's about. It is not about business. We're going to have business. And it's not even about doing sacraments. Because if we do sacraments like hocus pocus, I want to tell you, there'll be no Pentecost. When we do sacraments, we should be making love with Jesus. That's what it's about. Sacraments should be about making love with Jesus. That's what it's about. It's not just about ex opere operato, what the church says she does and it happens. I want to tell you, ex opere operato is real, but I'm going to tell you, Nobody gets converted with ex opere operato. They get converted when heaven seeps in to the church. That's true. I give you examples, okay? I don't have to just say things like this. You know, there could 1,000 priests celebrate Mass. But when Padre Pio did it at 3 a.m, I'm going to tell you, he had ex opere operato too. But the people were converted. You want to know why? Because he was holy. That's why. He was holy. He was holy. And people got converted. You know, when John Vianney celebrated the Eucharist, it was ex opere operato. But you want to know what? Things happened. He was holy. He was holy. And you want to know something else? The people were expecting something. They didn't just come for ex opere operato, that it happens. They were coming to meet Jesus. And guess what? When people come to meet Jesus, they come and they meet Jesus. That's real. It's not only I go to church to fulfill my obligation. Hey, listen, if that's what it's all about, I don't want to play the game. Jesus gave his life for me. I don't want to fulfill an obligation. My obligation is to give my whole life back to him. He shed his last drop of blood for us. I don't want to fulfill an obligation. That's not what my life is all about. I hope that's not what your life is all about, fulfilling an obligation, getting your hand stamped. I've gone to church today. I've done what I'm supposed to do. That's not what it's about. It's about offering our bodies as living sacrifices of praise. That's what it's about. It's about living no longer for ourselves, but for him. The fourth Eucharistic prayer says that we might live no longer for ourselves, but for him. He sent the Holy Spirit as the first gift to those who receive. That's what it says. That we might live no longer for ourselves, but for him. And when it says we, it's talking about you, it's talking about me. It's not just talking about the priest. It's talking about everybody. The Holy Spirit is not just for the priest, I want to tell you. Holy Spirit has been given at baptism for everybody. At confirmation, for everybody. And he comes when we pray in one accord with Mary, the mother of Jesus. When we pray and we pray with our hearts persevering in prayer, asking for that great gift of Pentecost, the ongoing gift of Pentecost. Because if you think that just you've experienced the baptism of the Spirit and it's all over, I want to tell you, you're talking about the depths of God. And the depths of God are deeper than you can ever imagine. You're talking about God Almighty. You're not talking about me. I'm shallow. God is deep. God is forever deep. There is no end to God. I often say when Teresa of Avila went to heaven, you know, she was in the seventh mansion. She had perfect union with God. But when she went to heaven, you know what she said? Oh, my Lord, there was much more, and I didn't get it. Because you're talking about God now. You're not talking about me. You're talking about God Almighty. You're talking about Jesus Christ, his holy and awesome Son. You're not talking about people. You're talking about the God made man. So there's so much more. There's so much more for all of us. So much more. But you see, we get satisfied with the little trickle. We get satisfied with the little trickle. We have this song, you know, I used to like it, but I don't like it anymore. I like the song, but I don't like the theology. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, I lift it up, and make me whole. Jesus did not say that. He says, let the man who thirsts come to me and drink, and there shall be rivers of living water. Okay? He did not say, you're going to get a cup. Jesus said, let the man who thirsts come to me and drink, for out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water, not a cup. But you see, we like to be a little trite, you know, fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. I want a cup full, Lord. That's not Jesus. You know, on the day of Pentecost, they didn't get a cup. They got rivers. Their innermost being was flowing with the river of God. the river of God, the living river of God that flows from the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb. Oh yeah, they were filled with that river of God. Not a cup, but a river. They left that upper room filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire and with proclamation, because they were together in one accord with Mary, the mother of Jesus, persevering in prayer. Persevering in prayer. That's when he came. That's when he comes. And there's more. There's always more. There's always more. You know, I've been in this since 1968, since, you know, this charismatic experience, since 1968. And I just want to tell you, I've just touched the shallow, shallow seashore of what there is. I have not come into the depths of the deep or the deep of the depths of God. I don't know about you, but I have not come into them yet. I know that I'm in the shallow shores of Jesus. But you know what? The shallow shores are better than no shores at all. At least I know there's more and that I can wade out in faith. I know there's more. I know that what I've experienced is just a trickle. I know there's much more. I know that's God's will, because Jesus said, let the man who thirsts come to me and drink. Let the person who thirsts come to me and drink. But you see, unless you're thirsty, you can't run. You got to be thirsty. See, as you can see, I'm drinking lots of water tonight. We had a Philly, what do they call it? Philly what? Yeah, Philly steak and cheese with French fries and cheese and, oh, my Lord. And I said, I want jalapeno peppers. So I am so thirsty tonight. But yes, maybe I'm just a prophetic sign tonight, you know. Because let the man who thirsts come to me, for out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. I told you last night about the prophetic sign that I was when we were doing the conference, when I was in my pajamas. I told you last night, that was a prophetic sign to be ready. You know, I believe in prophetic signs. God, and sometimes God makes me the prophetic sign. It's not very nice to be the prophetic sign, because you never know what he's going to do. Persevering in prayer. I want to tell you, the cenacle is the place to be. It's the place to live. It's the place to stay. The cenacle is the upper room. It's the dining room. It's where Jesus celebrated the Eucharist, and it's where the Pentecost experience happened. In the cenacle is where we need to live, where the church needs to be formed, where the church needs to go out from, and the church needs to return back to. The cenacle, the upper room, with Mary, the mother of Jesus, persevering in prayer. Nothing happens without prayer. Nothing happens without prayer, honest. Oh, yeah, lots of things happen without prayer. Boredom, business as usual. They come in and they leave the same way as they came in. That's what happens without prayer. They leave. They don't come back. At least I'm going to tell you this much. The people that have left my church, and there's many have left. Oh, yeah. We've had mass exodus from our church. At least many of them left because they heard the truth. Okay? Now, it's very sad that they left. And you think I like that they left? No, I don't like it at all. It makes me sad. But many of them left because they heard the truth. They didn't want to hear it anymore. They got sick of hearing the truth. This guy keeps on telling us the same thing. This guy keeps on telling us about sin, keeps on telling us about redemption, keeps on telling us about abortion, keeps on telling us that they're killing children, keeps on telling us that we're electing the wrong people, keeps on telling us that the church is living in sin because of how she's treating her priests, especially the ones that are sick, especially the ones that have sinned. We throw them out. Yeah, I don't care. I keep on saying it. You know what? Because it's true. I have to say it. I have to say it because someone's got to say it. I say it on the radio. I say it to the bishop. I say it to anybody. I'm not liked for it, but I say it. Because it's the truth. I was just talking to Father Toomey just now. Father Toomey is the best priest in the Archdiocese of Boston. He had a consensual relationship with a woman, okay? He sinned. Let me also tell you, Father Toomey is the best priest in the Archdiocese of Boston. He was praying with people for ritual abuse, okay? I want to tell you, the devil knew his weakness, okay? Because he's dealing with people with ritual abuse, the devil knew his weakness. So therefore, he brought this woman to him, and I don't know what happened, okay? They had a consensual relationship, which was sinful and which was wrong. All right? He's repented. Do you want to know what? They will not let him return. That's right. Now, in a couple of days, the Archbishop of Boston is going to be having a convocation of priests. And I said to Father Toomey just now, I don't want to go to that rotten convocation. He says, why? He's going. I said, I don't want to go because, you know what? I don't want to say to everybody again, we have treated our priests like dogs. We have thrown them out. I don't care how sinful you are. A mother doesn't throw out her children. I don't care what you've done. A mother doesn't say to her children, I hate you. You have no part in me. I'm not saying we put the people that molested children back in the parish. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we take care of our own. Because that's what Mother Church does. If you're going to call yourself a mother, you better be a mother. Because, you know, if I were in jail, my mother would come and visit me. My mother wouldn't throw me out. And that's what we've done to our priests. That's what we've done to our priests. I said, I don't want to go to that rotten meeting. You know why? Because I'll stand up and say, Cardinal, you want to do renew? You want the diocese renewed? When you throw priests out, you think God's going to renew the diocese? When you treat the anointed of God like dirt and you offer them $40,000 to be laicized? God's no fool. He's not going to renew the diocese the way you treat the priests. Because none of you got any guts. Oh yeah, people left. Because they don't like hearing it. But you know what? I was never ordained to tickle people's ears. I was ordained to proclaim the gospel. And sometimes I don't like doing it. I don't like saying this. I've had one of my best parishioners come to me and say, we cannot come to your parish anymore. You depress us. I said, sorry. I can't tell you that for sure I'm hearing the word of God. But I have to be faithful to what I think I'm hearing. And if you have to leave, I think you have to leave. Like, what do you say? I'm going to change my message because you're leaving? Oh, no. Goodbye. You're always welcome here. If I depress you, I'm sorry. Maybe you need to get on your knees and pray for me and do penance for me, you know? Yeah, that's the way it is. But I know there's much more. You see, the prophet speaks two ways. He speaks of God's wrath and he speaks of God's power. And it's both places. It goes both places. To those who are sinning without repentance, there's wrath. To those who are in Babylon, there's hope. There's hope for the power of God, for anyone who wants it. Even if they're in Babylon for 70 years, God says, you want to know what? I'm going to do something new, even in Babylon. And I'm going to send you back to Israel. And I'm going to do brand new things. I'm going to give you the Spirit. And I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to take from you a stony heart and put in you a heart of flesh instead. He says to the people in Babylon these words. See, the prophet speaks two ways. He speaks of wrath and he speaks of glory. And you know, I was never ordained to speak what people want me to speak. Sometimes I'm going to really tell you the truth. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like what I say. I don't like it. I don't like saying it. Because I know what it's going to do to people. I don't like hurting people, but you know what? When I've got to say something, I've got to say it. Because I was commanded to speak what he's told me to speak. And I'm not going to tell you I do it perfect or perfectly. I don't. And I'm not going to tell you I'm always right on. I don't, and I'm not. And I'm not going to tell you I always do it lovingly. I don't. But I will tell you I do it the best that I can. I will tell you that. And God has much more for his people, much more for every one of us, much more for the church. But it's not going to come when we're fiddling around with sin and sinning against our own. It's not going to come. You can have all the programs in the whole world, but unless there's repentance, it's not going to happen. Unless God is dead. And if God is dead, let's just play church. All right? But I know God's not dead. God's alive. He didn't die last Friday. He rose last Sunday. He ever lives to make intercession for the saints. He ever lives at the Father's right hand. He's all powerful and all glorious. Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me, both in heaven and on earth." And Jesus gives that authority to the church if the church wants it. And that authority is more than sacramental authority. That authority is to proclaim the word of God with power. That authority is to preach and to heal and to deliver and to bring life and to... Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to open the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf, and to proclaim a year of liberty to those in captivity." That's what Jesus said. And that's for the church. That's for you. That's for me. That's authority. Not authority so that, you know, I'm going to be a big shot. Everybody's going to bow down at me. That's not authority. Authority has to do with what God gives you so that you can give it to his people and pass it on so that they can have it and give it to other people. That's authority. That's authority. Authority has nothing to do with me making my own kingdom. The kingdom of thingdom, not authority. That's the world. Authority has to do with priests coming from all over the world to my little church, coming with me, receiving the anointing, going out back to their places and doing what I do and do it better than me. That's authority. That's authority. That's authority. And that's what happens. Authority isn't, "I'm the big cheese. I've got it all." No, that's not authority. Authority is what I've got, I give over. I give to others. That's authority. Authority is everything's been given to me. I want to give it right back to people. That's authority. I don't want to hold it for myself. I want it to go out so that God's people will get free. That's authority. And the little that God gives me, I just give to everybody I get, everybody I come in contact with. That's all. And you know, I've told the Lord, "Lord, you know, the more you give me, the more I give out. You know me." Like if nobody knows me, even if I don't know myself, he knows me. He knows that everything he gives me, I give it out. He knows that. He knows that. That's just who I am. And that's who he's made me to be. So I tell him, "Give me more, Lord, because I'll give it out. I won't keep it for myself. I'll just keep on pouring out, Jesus, as you give it out to me. I need it. Because, you know, I can't do unless you give it to me. I can't do anything unless I live in the cenacle and I live with Mary, the mother of Jesus, persevering in prayer with his people. And if I live experiencing the good things that you want to give your people, this is what I need. This is what I need. I need more. Because if I don't get more, I can't give it out." Now, let's get some things straight now. Receiving more doesn't mean you go always getting on top of a mountain, okay? We're going from mountain to mountain. That's not my life. It might be your life, and if it is, hallelujah, I'm jealous. But I've got to get over it. That's not my life. God doesn't bring me from mountain to mountain. It seems like God brings me from valley to valley. That's where he brings me. Okay? That's what it seems. I am very rarely on a mountaintop. Even when I go to the Mount of Transfiguration, I'm not on a mountaintop. But that's life, okay? I've been on a mountain.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.